Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is February 18, 2017, it is Adar 22, 2021. Our first service on this Sabbath day is a song entitled Face to Face with Yahshua, My Savior. Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Yahshua, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkening veil between. But the blessed day is coming, and his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What a rejoicing in his presence, when I'll banish grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Captivity and Restoration, Part 14, Manasseh and Josias. And we're on Patriarchs and Prophets, page 389. And we're going to continue our study. Habakkuk was not the only one through whom was given a message of the bright hope and of the future triumph as well as of the present judgment. During the reign of Josiah, the word of Yahweh came unto Zephaniah specifying plainly the results of the continued apostasy and calling the attention of the true congregation unto the glorious prospects beyond. His prophecies of impending judgment upon Judah apply with equal force unto the judgments that are to fall upon an impenitent world at the time of the second advent of Yahshua. The great day of the Yahshua is near. It is near and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yahshua, for the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That is the preacher man, or the prophet even, that's placed over the congregation that had fallen into apostasy. They're the ones that are called the mighty man. That day is the day of the wrath, the day of the trouble and distress, the day of the wasteness and desolation, a day of the darkness and gloominess, a day of the clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Zephaniah 1:14-16. I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as the dust. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Yahweh's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Verses 17 and 18. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahweh come upon you, before the day of the Yahweh's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. Zephaniah 2:1-3. Okay, it says that, behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name, whose shame hath been in all the earth. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I bring again your captivity before your eyes, saith the Yahweh. Zephaniah 3:19-20. Okay, it says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of the Jerusalem. Yahweh hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even Yahweh, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said unto Jerusalem, fear thou not, and unto Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Yahweh the Elohim in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Verses 14-17. Alright, end of chapter 32. We're going to go right on into chapter 33. The book of the law. For the silent yet powerful influence is set in the operation by the messages of the prophets regarding the Babylonian captivity did much for the preparing of the way for a reformation that took place in the 18th year of the Josiah's reign. For this reform movement, by the which threatened judgments were averted for a season, was brought about in a wholly unexpected manner through the discovery and study of a portion of the Holy Scripture that for many years had been strangely misplaced and lost. Nearly a century before, during the first Passover celebrated by the Hezekiah, provision had been made for the daily public reading of the Book of the Law unto the people by the teaching priest. For it was the observance of the statutes recorded by the Moses, especially those given in the Book of the Covenant, which forms the part of the Deuteronomy that had made the reign of the Hezekiah so prosperous. Verily, the Manasseh had dared set aside these statutes, and during his reign in the temple, copies of the Book of the Law, through the careless neglect, had become lost. Thus, for many years, the people generally were deprived of its instruction. Along last manuscript was found in the temple by the Hilkiah, the high priest, while the building was undergoing extensive repairs in harmony with the king Josiah's plan for the preservation of the sacred structure. For the high priest handed the precious volume unto Shaphan, a learned scribe, who read it and then took it unto the king with the story of his discovery. For the Josiah was deeply stirred as he heard it. Read for the first time the exhortations and warnings recorded in this incident, or in this ancient manuscript. Never before had he realized so fully the plainness with which the Elohim had set before the Israel life and death, blessing and cursing, Deuteronomy 30:19. And how repeatedly they had been urged to choose the way of life, that they might become a praise in the earth, a blessing unto all nations. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid. Israel had been exhorted through the Moses, for the Yahweh, the Elohim, he it is that doeth good with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee, Deuteronomy 31:6. For the book abounded in the assurances of the Elohim's willingness to save unto the uttermost those who should place their trust fully in him. As he had wrought in their deliverance from the Egyptian bondage, so would he work mightily in establishing them in the land of the promise and in the placing them at the head of the nation of the earth. For the encouragements offered as a reward of the obedience were accompanied by the prophecies of the judgments against the disobedient, and as the king heard the inspired words, he recognized in the picture set before him condition that were similar unto those actually existing in his kingdom. In connection with these prophetic portrayals of the departure from the Elohim, he was startled to find the plain statements for the affection that the day of the calamity would follow swiftly and that there would be no remedy, for the language was plain. There would be no mistaking the meaning of the words, and at the close of the volume, and a summary of the Elohim's dealing with the Israel and a rehearsal of the events of the future, these matters were made doubly plain. In the hearing of all Israel, Moses had declared, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, and the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A Elohim of the truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Deuteronomy 32:1-4. "Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided unto the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people, according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Yahweh portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found them in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye." Verses 7-10. "But Israel forsook Elohim which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with the strange gods. With the abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not unto Elohim, to gods whom they knew not, unto the new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten Yahweh that formed thee. And when the Yahweh saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters, And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Yahweh. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them unto jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction, for they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Yahweh has shut them up? For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Verses 15:21, 23, 24, 28, 31, 34, and 35. These and similar passages revealed unto Josiah Elohim's love for his people and his abhorrence of sin. As the king read the prophecies of the swift judgment upon those who should persist in rebellion, he trembled for the future. The perversity of the Judah had been great. What was to be the outcome of their continued apostasy? In the former years, the king had not been indifferent unto the prevailing idolatry. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he had consecrated himself fully unto the service of Yahweh. 4 years later, at the age of 20, he had made an earnest effort to remove temptation from his subjects by the purging Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves. And he carved images and the molten images. They break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 34:3-5. And it says, not content with the doing of the thorough work in the land of the Judah, the youthful ruler had extended his efforts unto the portions of the Palestine formerly occupied by the 10 tribes of the Israel. Only a feeble remnant of which now remained. So did he, for the record reads, in the cities of the Manasseh, and Ephraim, and Simeon, even under Naphtali, not until he had traversed the length and breadth of this region of the ruined homes, and had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, did he return unto Jerusalem. Verses 6 and 7. Thus Josiah, from his earliest manhood, had endeavored to take advantage of his position as king for the exalting of the principles of the Yahweh's holy law. And now, while the Shaphan, the scribe, was reading unto him out of the book of the law, the king discerned in this volume a treasure of the knowledge, a powerful ally in the work of the reform. This is what we're called on to do today, is to restore and reform. He so much desired to see wrought in the land, he resolved to walk in the light of his counsel, and also do all in his power to acquaint his people with his teachings, and to lead them, if possible, to cultivate reverence and love for the law of heaven. But was it possible to bring about the needed reform? Israel had almost reached the limit of the divine forbearance. Soon Elohim would arise to punish those who had brought dishonor upon his name. Already the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against the people. Overwhelmed with the sorrow and dismay, Josiah rent his garments and bowed before Elohim in the agony of the spirit, seeking pardon for the sins of the impenitent nation. At that time, the prophetess Huldah was living in Jerusalem near the temple. The mind of the king fell with the anxious foreboding, reverted unto her, and he determined to inquire the Yahweh through his chosen messenger, to learn if possible whether by any means within his power he might save erring Judah now on the verge of the ruin. The gravity of the situation and the respect in which he held the prophetess led him to choose as his messengers to hear the first men of the kingdom. Go ye, he bade them, inquire the Yahweh for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. 2 Kings 22:13. Through Huldah, the Yahweh sent Josiah's word that Jerusalem's ruin could not be averted. Even should the people now humble themselves before Yahweh, they could not escape their punishment. So long had their senses been deadened by the wrongdoing that if judgment should not come upon them, they would soon return to the same sinful course. Tell the man that sent you to me, the prophetess declared. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Verses 15-17. But because the king had humbled his heart for Yahweh, the Yahweh would acknowledge his promptness and his seeking forgiveness and mercy. To him was sent the message, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Yahweh, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that this should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent my clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith Yahweh. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. Verses 19-20. The king must leave it to Elohim the events of the future. He could not alter the eternal decrees of the Yahweh. But in the announcing of the retributive judgments of the heaven, the Yahweh had not withdrawn opportunity for the repentance and reformation. There's that reformation that goes hand in glove with the word restoration. And Josias discerning in this a willingness on the part of the Elohim for the, to temper his judgments with the mercy, determined to do all in his power to bring about decided reforms. He arranged at once for a great convocation, unto which were invited the elders and the magistrates in Jerusalem and Judah, together with the common people. These, with the priests and Levites, met the king in the court of the temple. To this vast assembly, the king himself read all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of Yahweh. 2 Kings 23:2. The royal reader was deeply affected, and he delivered his message with the pathos of a broken heart. His hearers were profoundly moved. The intensity of the feeling revealed in the countenance of the king, the solemnity of the message itself, the warning of the judgments impending. All these had their effect, and many determined to join with the king in the seeking of the forgiveness. For the Josiahs now propose that those highest in the authority unite with the people in the solemn covenanting before Elohim to cooperate with one another in an effort to institute decided changes. The king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Yahweh to walk after the Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. For the response was more hearty than the king had dared hope for. All the people stood unto the covenant. Verse 3. In the reformation that followed, the king turned his attention unto the destruction of every vestige of the idolatry that remained. So long had the inhabitants of the land followed the customs of the surrounding nations and the bowing down unto the images of the wood and stone, that it seemed almost beyond the power of man to remove every trace of these evils. But Josiah preserved in his effort to cleanse, persevered in his effort to cleanse the land. Sternly, he met idolatry by the slaying all the priests of the high places. Moreover, the workers with the familiar spirits and their wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of the Hilkiah the priest, found in the house of Yahweh, verses 20 and 24. In the days of the reigning of the kingdom, centuries before, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, in the bold defiance of the Yahweh whom Israel had served, was endeavoring to turn the hearts of the people away from the services of the temple in Jerusalem unto new forms of the worship, he had set up an unconsecrated altar at the Bethel. During the dedication of this altar, where many in the years were, to come were to be seduced into the idolatrous practices, there had suddenly appeared a man of the Elohim from Judea with the words of the condemnation for the sacrilegious proceeding. He had cried against the altar, declaring, "O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." 1 Kings 13:2. This announcement had been accompanied by a sign that the word spoken was of the Yahweh. 3 centuries had passed during the Reformation wrought by the Josiahs. The king found himself in the Bethel, where stood this ancient altar. for the prophecy uttered so many years before in the presence of the Jeroboam was now to be literally fulfilled. The altar that was at Bethel and the high place which the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchre, that where there is the mount, that were there in the mount, and sent, and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according unto the word of Yahweh, that the man of the Elohim proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of the Yahweh, which came from the Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. 2 Kings 23:15-18. On the southern slopes of the Olivet, opposite the beautiful temple of the Yahweh on the Mount Moriah, were the shrines and images that had been placed there by the Solomon to please his idolatrous wife. See 1 Kings 11:68. For upwards of the 3 centuries, the great misshapen images had stood on the Mount of the Offense, mute witnesses unto the apostasy of the Israel's wisest king. These two were removed and destroyed by Josiah. The king sought further to establish the faith of Judah in the Elohim of their fathers by the holding a great Passover feast in harmony with the provision made in the book of the law. Preparations was made by those having the sacred services in the charge, and on the great day of the feast, offerings were freely made. There was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, that's of the 10 tribes, nor of the kings of Judah, the 2 tribes. 2 Kings 23:22. But the zeal of the Josiah acceptable, though it was unto Elohim, could not atone for the sins of the past generation, nor could the piety displayed by the king's followers affect a change of the heart, and many who stubbornly refused to turn from the idolatry unto the worship of the true Elohim. For more than a decade following the celebration of the Passover, Josiah continued to reign. At the age of 39, he met death in the battle with the forces of Egypt, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for the Josiah, and Jeremiah lamented for the Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah and their lamentation unto this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the lamentation. 2 Chronicles 35:24-25. Like unto Josiah, was there no king before him that turned unto the Yahweh with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according unto all the law of the Moses? Neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Yahweh turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Now, Manasseh was a king of Israel, of the 10 tribes for sure. That was the son of Joseph, born down in Egypt. 2 Kings 23:25-26. The time was rapidly approaching when Jerusalem was to be utterly destroyed, and the inhabitants of the land carried captive and the Babylon there to learn the lessons they had refused to learn under circumstances more favorable. See, if they'd learned their lessons under Josiah and completely reformed, then they wouldn't have been carried off into captivity into Babylon. Yahweh gave Judah an opportunity in their own land. Among those, okay, we're on chapter 34 now. Jeremiah, among those who had hoped for a permanent spiritual revival as a result of the Reformation under Josiah, was Jeremiah, called of Elohim unto the prophetic office while still a youth in the 13th year of the Josiah's reign. A member of the Levitical priesthood, Jeremiah had been trained from the childhood for the holy service. In those happy years of the preparation, he little realized that he had been ordained from the birth to be a prophet unto the nation. And when the divine call came, he was overwhelmed with a sense of unworthiness. Okay, oh, Yahweh Elohim, he exclaimed, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah 1, 5, and 6. In the youthful Jeremiah, Yahweh saw one who would be true to his trust and who would stand for the right against great opposition. The childhood he had proved faithful in the childhood. And now he was to endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. Say not, I am a child. Yahweh hath obeyed his chosen messenger. For thou shalt go unto all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Yahshua, to the Yahweh, to deliver thee, verses 7, 8, 17, and 19. For 40 years, Jeremiah was to stand before the nation as a witness for the truth and righteousness. In a time of the unparalleled apostasy, he was to exemplify in life and character the worship of the only true Yahweh. During the terrible sieges of the Jerusalem, he was to be the mouthpiece of the Yahweh. He was to predict the downfall of the house of David and the destruction of the beautiful temple built by the Solomon. Downfall of the house of David. And when in prison, because of his fearless utterances, he was still to speak plainly against sin in the high places. Despised, hated, rejected of men, he was finally to witness the literal fulfillment of his own prophecies of the impending doom and share in the sorrow and woe that should follow the destruction of the fated city. Yet amid the general ruin into which the nation was rapidly passing, Jeremiah was often permitted to look beyond the distressing scene of the present to the glorious prospects of the future, when Yahweh's people should be ransomed from the land of the enemy and planted again in Zion, he foresaw the time when the Yahweh would renew his covenant relation with them. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all, Jeremiah 31:12. Of his call unto the prophetic mission, Jeremiah himself wrote, Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant, Jeremiah 1:9-10. Thank Yahweh for the words, to build and to plant. By these words, Jeremiah was assured of Yahweh's purpose to restore and to heal. Stern were the messages to be born, and the years that were to follow. Prophecies of the swift coming judgments were to be fearlessly delivered. From the plains of the Shinar and evil was to break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. I will utter my judgments against them, the Yahweh declared, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me. Verses 14 and 16. Yet the prophet was to accompany these messages with the assurances of the forgiveness unto all who should turn from their evil doing. As a wise master builder, Jeremiah, at the very beginning of his life work, sought to encourage the men of Judah to lay the foundations of their spiritual life broad and deep by making of the thorough work of the repentance. Long had they been building with the material likened by the Apostle Paul to wood, hay, and stubble, and by the Jeremiah himself unto dross. The refuse silver shall men call them, he declared of the impenitent nation. Behold, Yahweh hath rejected them. Jeremiah 6:30. Margin. Now they were urged to begin building wisely and for eternity, casting aside the rubbish of the apostasy and unbelief, and using as the foundation material the pure gold, the refined silver, the precious stone, faith and obedience and good works, which alone are acceptable in the sight of a holy Elohim. Through Jeremiah, the word of the Yahweh unto his people was, Return thou backsliding Israel, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Yahweh thy Elohim. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you. Thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. And in addition unto those wonderful pleadings, the Yahweh gave his erring people the very words with which they might turn unto him. They were to say, Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Yahweh our Elohim. Truly in the vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Yahweh or Elohim is the salvation of Israel. We lie down in our shame and our confusion. Covereth us, for we have sinned against the Yahweh or Elohim, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh Elohim. Verses 22-25. For the reformation under the Josiah had cleansed the land of the idolatrous shrines, But the hearts of the multitude had not been transformed. For the seeds of the truth that had sprung up and given promise of an abundant harvest had been choked by the thorns. Another such backsliding would be fatal, and the Yahweh sought to arouse the nation unto a realization of their danger. Only as they should prove loyal unto the Yahweh could they hope for the divine favor and for the prosperity. Jeremiah called their attention repeatedly unto the counsels given in the Deuteronomy. More than any other of the prophets, he emphasized of the teachings of the Mosaic Law, and showed how these might bring the highest spiritual blessing unto the nation and unto every individual heart. As for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, he pleaded, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. On one occasion by the command of Yahweh, the prophet took his position at one of the principal entrances unto the city, and there urged the importance of the keeping holy of the Sabbath day. For the inhabitants of the Yerushalayim were in the danger of losing sight of the sanctity of the Sabbath, and they were solemnly warned. Against following their secular pursuits on that day. A blessing was promised on the condition of the obedient. If you diligently hearken unto me, the Yahweh declared, and hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of the David. Riding in the chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. This promise of the prosperity as the reward of the allegiance was accompanied by a prophecy of the terrible judgment that would befall the city should its inhabitants prove disloyal unto Yahweh and his law. Even the abominations to destroy the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers and to hallow his Sabbath day were not heeded. The city and its palaces would be utterly destroyed by the fire. Thus the prophet stood firmly for the sound principles of the right living so clearly outlined in the book of the law. But the conditions prevailing in the land of Judah were such that only by the most decided measures could a change for the better be brought about. Therefore, he labored most earnestly in the behalf of the impenitent. Break up your fallow ground, he pleaded, and sow not among thorns. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from the wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. Jeremiah 4:3-14. But by the great mass of the people, the call unto repentance and reformation was unheeded. Since the death of the good King Josiah, those who ruled the nation had been proven untrue unto their trust and had been leading many astray. So Hohab, disposed by the interference of the King of Egypt, had been followed by the Jehoiakim, an older son of the Josiah from the beginning of the Jehoiakim's reign. Jeremiah had little hope of saving his beloved land from the destruction and the people from the captivity. Yet he was not permitted to remain silent while utter ruin threatened the kingdom. Those who had remained loyal unto Yahweh must be encouraged to persevere in the right doing, and sinners must, if possible, be induced to turn from the iniquity. For the crisis demanded public and far-reaching effort. Jeremiah was commanded by Yahweh to stand in the court of the temple and speak unto all the people of Judah who might pass in and out. From the messages given him, he must diminish not a word that sinners in Zion might have the fullest possible opportunity to hearken and to turn from their evil ways. For the prophet obeyed, he stood in the gate of the Yahweh, of the Yahweh's house, and there lifted his voice in a warning and entreaty. Under the inspiration of the Almighty, he declared, "Hear the word of Yahweh, all ye of the Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of the host, the Elohim of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Yahweh, the temple of the Yahweh, the temple of the Yahweh are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, now that walk after other gods unto your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave unto your fathers, forever and ever." For the unwillingness of the Yahweh to chastise is here vividly shown. He stays his judgments that he may plead with the impenitent. He who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth yearns over his erring children in every way possible. He seeks to teach them the way of the everlasting life, Jeremiah 9:24. He had brought the Israelites out of the bondage that they might serve him, the only true and living Elohim, though they had wandered long in the idolatry and had slighted his warning, yet he now declares his willingness to defer chastisement and grant yet another opportunity for the repentance. He makes plain the fact that only by the most thorough heart reformation could the impending doom be averted, and the vain would be the trust they might place in the temple and their services. Rites and ceremonies could not atone for the sin. Notwithstanding their claim to be the chosen people of the Elohim, reformation of the heart and of the life practice alone could save them from the inevitable result of the continued transgression. Thus it was that in the cities of Judah and in the streets of the Jerusalem, the message of the Jeremiah unto Judah was, "Hear ye the words of this covenant." The plain precepts of the Yahweh, as recorded in the sacred scriptures, and to do them, Jeremiah 11:6, and this is the message he proclaimed as he stood in the temple courts in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. Israel's experience from the days of the Exodus was briefly reviewed. Yahweh's covenant with them had been, "Obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Shamelessly and repeatedly had this covenant been broken. The chosen nation had walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backwards and not forward, Jeremiah 7. 23 and 24. Why, the Yahweh inquired, is this people of the Jerusalem smitten back by a perpetual backsliding, Jeremiah 8:5. In the language of the prophet, it was because they had obeyed not the voice of Yahweh the Elohim and had refused to be corrected. See Jeremiah 5:3. Truth is perished, he mourned, and is cut off from their mouth. The stork and the heaven north are appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Yahweh. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith Yahweh? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Jeremiah 7:28, Jeremiah 8:7 and 9:9. The time had come for the deep heart searching by Josiah. had been their ruler, the people had had some ground for hope, but no longer could he intercede in their behalf, for he had fallen in the battle. The sins of the nations were such that the time for the intercession had all but passed by. Though Moses and Samuel stood before him, before me, he already cared, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt teach them, thus saith Yahweh, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword, so the sword, and such as are for the famine, unto the famine, and such as are for the captivity, unto the captivity. Jeremiah 15:1-2. A refusal to heed the invitation of the mercy that Elohim was now offering would bring upon the impenitent nation the judgments that had befallen the northern kingdom of Israel over a century before. The message unto them now was, if you will not hearken unto me to walk in my law, which I have set before you to hearken unto the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse unto all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah 26:4-6. Those who stood in the temple court listening unto Jeremiah's discourse understood clearly this reference unto Shiloh, and unto the time in the days of Eli, when the Philistines had overcome Israel and carried away the Ark of the Testament, for the sin of the Eli had consisted in passing lightly over the iniquity of his sons in the sacred office, and over the evils prevailing throughout the land. His neglect to correct these evils had brought upon Israel a fearful calamity. His sons had fallen in the battle. Eli himself had lost his life. The ark of the Elohim had been taken from the land of Israel. 30,000 of the people had been slain, and all because sin had been allowed to flourish unrebuked and unchecked. Israel had vainly thought that notwithstanding their sinful practices, the presence of the ark would ensure them victory over the Philistines. In the like manner, during the days of Jeremiah, the inhabitants of Judah were prone to believe that a strict observance of the divinely appointed services of the temple would preserve them from a just punishment for their wicked course. This brings in verse 36. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us. Number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a restful heart to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Although those wide extended plains charms one eternal day, here shall the sun forever reign and scatters not away. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds, no poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared. promised land, yes I am, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and don't let me, I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach the happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land, yes I am, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.